Hey, yo, Fro Wrestling Podcast listeners, help us out and click subscribe to show your support. And if you are on YouTube, make sure you enable notifications so you're notified every time a new episode of the Fro Wrestling Podcast goes live. And while you're at it, if you're sick and tired of spending $60 to $100 for the latest and greatest wrestling video games, stop immediately and go to Wrestler Unstoppable, available exclusively through Facebook. Create your own wrestler, sign contracts, get involved in storylines, headline pay-per-views, even build your own corporation, all included in Wrestler Unstoppable, available now to all Facebook users totally free. If you want to become a member of the Fro Wrestling Podcast family and want your name in the shout-outs, like our buddy Harold in St. Louis, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/Fro Wrestling Podcast and sign up today. And for the month of February, any $25 contributor will get the opportunity to co-host an episode of Going Live with me for one of our Live at 9:05 episodes. And for our $10 a month contributors, you'll be entered into a drawing for one winner to also co-host an episode of Going Live. Hello, everyone, and welcome to this live episode of the Fro Wrestling Podcast. Don't forget, fan voting in round two of the Greatest Wrestler of the Monday Night Wars is open and live now. You can get that at frowrestling.com. The voting will close this week on Wednesday evening. Make sure you get your votes in. You guys are doing a great job, as always, in our fantasy booking tournaments. And I look forward to see who you guys put through to the next round, where the matches are going to start to get very, very interesting. If you would like to call in to the Fro Wrestling Sound Off line to leave questions, comments, concerns, anything you'd like to hear about in a future episode, go to the Sound Off line at 267-642-1160 and give us your questions, your comments, whatever you want to talk about. It is a talk-to-text service. You leave a voicemail, they convert it into text, and I will see it shortly thereafter and can try to get your thoughts, your questions, your ideas into the episodes. And we'll try to get through as many of them as we can throughout the week. If you are listening live and you go through frowrestling.com or through Spreaker.com, the parent and hosting software that we use, you can actually go in and you can send us comments through their chat feature so I could talk to you live in the show and address your questions there. Don't forget, if you have never been a member of the Fro Wrestling Podcast before, if you've never tuned in before, our homepage, www.frowrestling.com, is where we put up all the topics that we're going to discuss, everything we're going to go over. So it's a great way for you to come up with the questions, the things you want to ask about, comments, anything you want me to address. That's a great place for you to go to do that so I can get you guys as a part of the show as well. Love to get you guys involved as much as we can. Tonight, several topics to talk about. We're going to cover a lot of Ring of Honor news this week, some Impact Wrestling stuff going on, some what I consider to be very cool stuff coming to the WWE Network. We got some cool news from the independent scene, and just a mishmash of other things going on. And I have to give this to my buddy Harold out there in St. Louis. We had a great conversation today, and Harold gave me what I consider to be a great perspective on one of our headline stories for tonight. And we're going to start with that, and that is Ring of Honor now offering the Honor Club, which is their own streaming service, much like the WWE Network and the Global Wrestling Network. Now Ring of Honor is going to be offering a streaming service as well. Now here's the thing, and this is what Harold and I were talking about tonight, is that, and I apologize, I wanted to actually have Harold on live tonight, but Harold's got some prior commitments. Harold, we look forward to having you on the show soon as we can, buddy. We had a great conversation about, you know, you've got $9.99 a month for the WWE Network, which gives you access to just hundreds of thousands of hours worth of wrestling content and information, great programs, original shows, classic pay-per-views, classic television shows, and pretty much the majority of the wrestling that has existed for the last 100 years. Most of that is found on the WWE Network. Then you had the Global Wrestling Network that came out this past September, which is also $9.99 a month. Now, I'm going to be the first to admit that I think the early Impact Wrestling content was fantastic. I think it kind of, the quality, I don't want to say the quality dipped, but the storylines got a little stagnant when Jeff Jarrett was champion for like forever and a day for a good chunk of time there for during Impact Wrestling. Once they got away from that and they started developing people like AJ Styles and Bobby Roode, James Storm, Magnus, and things like that, the company started to take off again, as far as my opinion. Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle, big time, Sting, Mick Foley, all these guys coming in really helped the global product. And then it got stale again, and that's where kind of where we're at now. But what the advantage of the Global Wrestling Network is that you get access to a ton of independent promotions. Now you've got the wrestling, WWN offers, Evolve and Rev Pro and all those. So you got all these services. And then you get Ring of Honor bringing out the Honor Club. So you understand, it's another $9.99 a month plan. If you sign up for $100, you get the whole 12 months. But if you pay $120, the equivalent of the $9.99 a month, and you don't take the $20 discount, you get access to all their pay-per-views. See, if you get their club, you don't get the pay-per-views, so you got to pay the $120 to get to that. So it boils down to, between WWE Global Wrestling Network and Ring of Honor, you'd be dropping $30 a month for streaming services. It's almost a shame Ring of Honor couldn't have found a way to partner with the Global Wrestling Network and offer, say, $16, $17, $18 a month plan that got you both companies, because I think the content then, you had all the classic Ring Impact stuff, all the incredible Ring of Honor history. Just so, for those who haven't been following Ring of Honor since their inception, you may not realize what you're missing out on. The 541 day reign of Samoa Joe as Ring of Honor champion. Bryan Danielson, also known as Daniel Bryan, as Ring of Honor champion. CM Punk, Austin Aries in his youth, his early part of his career. Even somebody as simple as, WWE, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on his name, Jamie Noble, winning the Ring of Honor Championship, Jerry Lynn being the Ring of Honor Champion, all these people, Tyler Black, also known as Seth Rollins, being Ring of Honor Champion. So you have so much history there that most mainstream WWE fans have no idea about. When you talk about diehards like some of us are, of course, we know that Ring of Honor has been around for a while, and we've seen a lot of Ring of Honor matches, I'm sure, but I don't know if the 17, 18-year-old wrestling fan, even a diehard fan, if they really know the history of Ring of Honor and how amazing that promotion has been from the minute it started. It has just been cutting edge and just a killer promotion. I honestly believe ECW's effect on indie wrestling now is that companies, I think, have a tougher time getting going because of ECW's failures. And I'm not knocking ECW. I love ECW. But what I'm saying is a Ring of Honor is, to me, just as innovative, if not more so, than ECW was. But I feel like fans are a little more pulled back and restrained than they were back in the ECW days, almost in a way that they don't want their wonderful program to go away. And now when you have this Honor Club coming out, it really does give you an opportunity to go back in history and take a look at the Ring of Honor product from the beginning. And there's a lot there. There's a lot to look at. Watching some of those matches, CM Punk versus Bryan Danielson is going to always be a classic. Bryan Danielson versus AJ Styles, a match you'll never see again unless they clear Daniel Bryan. You can see that match right now, Ring of Honor. So there's so much that's happened. Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Bryan Danielson. You pick the combination, Samoa Joe and CM Punk. You know, you pick the combo. Some of the greatest, most incredible talents in the history of the business went through Ring of Honor. Cesaro went through Ring of Honor with Cassius Ohno as a tag team partner. So there's so much for you to look at. I encourage you to at least consider the membership, so that you can, if you have not already, you can go back and relive a lot of those amazing, amazing shows. The concern I have is one that Harold shared with me as well, is the cost aspect of professional wrestling right now. I know my buddy John in Hatfield, he's a diehard fan as much as anybody I've ever met. And I know John, John, I hope you're listening. If you are, you know, this is all about you for a second here. I have seen John, she's shot me pictures. I mean, he has sent me so many pictures from wrestling shows and independent companies, and he will travel an hour and a half, 2 hours to see all these indie shows, and he's just such a diehard fan. So he's dropping $10 to $15 to $20 every show to get in and sit ringside. He's doing all that gas money to travel everywhere just because he's so passionate about indie wrestling. If you ask that same guy now to drop $10 a month for WWE, $10 a month for Global Wrestling Network, $10 a month for Ring of Honor, more money for WWN, you know, you got other people who want to drop the $9.99 to get the New Japan Pro Wrestling Channel. There's so much out there. And what blows my mind is, if we really think about this historically speaking, WWE's original goal was to take all of this and put it together into one network. Can you imagine one flat rate, say $20 a month for every wrestling promotion in the world? How amazing would that be? going to move on to another Ring of Honor topic, the other headline of the night. Ring of Honor, Supercard of Honor 12 is coming soon, and the big match announcement for the show, Cody, the leader of the Bullet Club, will take on Kenny Omega, the former leader of the Bullet Club, if that actually happened. For those who don't know, Kenny Omega kicked out of the Bullet Club, or at least that's what it looked like when Cody attacked him in Japan. Not sure if that's actually what's happening. I don't know if they're going to have it pull a swerve and suddenly Cody will be out of the Bullet Club, or if they'll have their match and somehow they'll reconcile. I suspect that Cody will be the new leader. When you think about Cody's character, he was Ring of Honor champion. He loses the title, never really gets a rematch, loses to Kota Ibushi at Wrestle Kingdom, and he's kind of come into like a subordinate role right now, and I don't like that after they built him so strong for a year. Now he's almost like mid-card, and I don't want to see that. And Kenny Omega has been at the top of the food chain in New Japan Pro Wrestling, and it's great to see he and Cody get in the ring. I actually am pulling, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I'm pulling for Cody to win this match. I hate going against Kenny Omega because I adore Kenny Omega's work, but I think Cody, because of his position on the card, needs the win more than Omega does. Omega is an established star. The match takes place for Ring of Honor. He's a bigger star in New Japan Pro Wrestling. He didn't sign with WWE this year. He re-upped for another year. I think New Japan will continue to push him. I think that Cody, in the process, needs to be pushed hard. So if he goes over Kenny Omega here, he becomes a bigger star in New Japan. And then potentially, he may be the one to maybe take that IWGP United States Championship from Jay White, who recently won it from Omega. Going to move on. Those are our two big headlines tonight. There's tons of other news going on. If you want to go and get your comments into this episode, feel free. Go to the chat feature in Spreaker.com or at ProWrestling.com and click and put your comments into the screen so that we can get your stuff on the show. But while we're live here, let's talk about Impact Wrestling. They have a one-night-only taping tonight. And the reason this is a part of tonight's show is I'm fascinated by this. Bobby Lashley's contract ended 2 days ago with Impact Wrestling. So he is a free agent now, able to sign with anybody. If WWE truly is committed to wanting to bring Bobby Lashley in for a run with Brock Lesnar, don't you think they would have jumped on the bandwagon at, you know, February 1st at midnight and started putting a deal together for Bobby Lashley? Instead, it's February 3rd. Obviously, no deal has been struck, because if it had been, then what we would have is Bobby Lashley would not be at a one-night-only taping event for Impact Wrestling. They must be paying him on a per-night appearance basis until they figure out if he's going to re-up or not, or if he's going to go to mixed martial arts, or if he's going to come to WWE. But I feel like him being at this show tonight really puts a damper on his prospects of coming to WWE. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's just what I'm feeling right now in my gut. At this show, they're going to be sharing the ring with the stars of Rev Pro. And then also Emma will be at the show, which will be interesting to see if that parlays into her getting an opportunity with Impact Wrestling going forward. I think she'd be a great addition to their Knockouts roster. But yeah, very interesting situation seeing Bobby Lashley at one night only tapings tonight for a show that won't air till much later in the year. Very, very interesting and intriguing scenario. NXT TakeOver New Orleans already has two matches announced. Andrade Cien Almas will defend the NXT Championship in the main event going against Aleister Black. That NXT Championship has become very prestigious over the last several years. And how could you not give Aleister Black an opportunity at the title with his just momentum and streak of undefeatedness that's been going on? In addition, Shayna Baszler will be getting her shot at the NXT Women's Championship when she takes on Ember Moon. The two matches have been announced. I suspect we'll see a tag team match as well. I will be surprised if the Authors of Pain are not involved in that tag team match, and I think that they will lose that match, as I feel like they will be main roster call-ups shortly after WrestleMania. The other thing that we need to talk about with NXT right now is the return of the Dusty Rhodes Classic. So for those who don't know what that is, a couple years back, WWE started a memorial tag team tournament in honor of Dusty Rhodes. It was originally won by Finn Balor and Samoa Joe. It was the next year won by the Authors of Pain. And then last year, it didn't take place. And I think the reason it didn't take place last year is because they were doing the Mae Young Classic, and that took up their tournament offering. This year, they're not doing a Mae Young Classic, apparently. At least that's what I'm hearing now. And instead, we're going back to the return of the Dusty Rhodes Classic. The tapings have already taken place for the first round of the tournament. I will not give you the spoilers here. I will just say that you will see one team return that has been gone for quite a while. You'll see the debut of a new tag team, which I'm curious to see how well they work together. And of course, you'll see one dominating tag team that has to be a part of any tag team tournament in NXT right now. So take a look at that. If you want to know who won, go ahead and find the spoilers online. I'm more than happy to put out there that I think eWrestling News and Wrestling Inc. are two fantastic sources to look these things up. So there's my shout out to you guys, Wrestling Inc. and eWrestling News. WWE's Coliseum Video Collection. For those who have no idea what this is, back in the 80s, WWE, 80s and 90s, WWE's VHS supplier, distributor, was Coliseum Home Video. And they put out some of the most bizarre tapes you could ever have asked to see in the world of professional wrestling. Bloopers, bleeps, and body slams, and all these just goofy tapes. In addition, when they would do a special event like a some wrestling WrestleFest 93 or something like that, they would also record those, put them on VHS tape, and it wouldn't be on television. Well, all those, or I shouldn't say all, but a great deal of those Coliseum Home videos are now going to be added to the WWE Network. I'm actually very excited to check those out. I remember watching those as a kid. I would go to the Rite Aid pharmacy near my home. It was $2 to rent a movie. I would rent every single one of those, one after another after another. I used to love the Coliseum videos. They did. There was one that was all about Roddy Piper, and one about all about Paul Orndorff and Hulk Hogan, the Iron Sheik, you know, all that kind of stuff. I didn't see if those were going to be on the list, but I did see my bloopers, bleeps, and body slams. I saw that one was the first one on the list, and several other events going all the way up through into the 90s. So it'll be very cool for people who were not around back then or who have forgotten all the wrestling action that was around back then. This will be a great opportunity for those who subscribe to the network to check out some classic old school WWF wrestling action. Five Star Wrestling held their television taping this past weekend, and I'm not going to go through a litany of all the results. I will say this, Rey Mysterio was there, he put on a great performance, and what's fascinating to me about that is Rey Mysterio has been teasing on Twitter. He put up a picture of he and AJ Styles at the Royal Rumble shaking hands behind the curtain, and he was talking about that being a dream match. He's like, someday, and I hope that day is sooner than later. It can't happen at WrestleMania, but I would not be opposed to seeing Mysterio versus AJ Styles at SummerSlam. I think it would be a dream match. People would love to see that in a WWE ring. Rey Mysterio was victorious in his match at the Five Star Wrestling show. They're in the midst of a tournament they were putting on, which was fantastic. And most importantly, the main event, John Morrison has held that Five Star Wrestling Championship, or Johnny Mundo, or Johnny Impact, or whatever you want to call him. He has held that Five Star Wrestling Championship now well over a year, and he took on Rob Van Dam, the first time these two have ever met in the ring, and he defeated Rob Van Dam at the end of the match. My understanding is a fantastic match. I am sure it will be available on YouTube in short order. Check that out when you get the opportunity. Five Star Wrestling is the company who last year was talking about having the largest world championship tournament in history, 128 wrestler tournament, and then it fell apart. Didn't happen. And it's really a frustrating situation because I would have loved to have seen how they would have put together all these shows and all these matches and really made it something meaningful for the wrestling fans. But somebody else who is doing that is Billy Corgan and the National Wrestling Alliance, as they're on a quest to bring more credibility and old-school legitimacy to the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. The current champion, former guy known as Magnus, now goes by his real name, Nick Aldis, is the NWA World Heavyweight Champion, and over the next 60 days, he will defend the NWA World Heavyweight Championship against over 20 different superstars around the world, various territories, bringing back that old school mentality of a true traveling NWA World Heavyweight Champion carrying the 10 pounds of gold. I find this fascinating. It's a throwback to an age that is long since gone. And I love the fact that Billy Corgan purchasing the NWA, he is maintaining and retaining the long standing aura of that championship. That was the thing. The NWA World Heavyweight Champion was the guy who would travel all over the country, defend against anybody, make other people's local heroes look strong, and then always walk out as the champion. I'm thrilled that they're trying to bring some legitimacy back to it. The 20 some odd opponents will kick off on the next NWA Championship Wrestling from Hollywood broadcast, and it will continue for the next 60 days. It'll be interesting to see if Magnus or Nick Aldis, however you want to say it, comes out on top with that championship at the end of 60 days. I suspect that he will for two reasons. One, he only recently won the championship, and more importantly, he is a phenomenal wrestler, had a great run in Impact Wrestling, and then kind of was dropped a bit. He became Global Force Wrestling Champion until they tried to merge. They took that belt off of him. But he is an incredible talent, and I feel like it's about time he got a legitimate run as the head of a company. I think he's a fantastic flag bearer for any championship that he carries. The next challengers for the SmackDown Tag Team Championship looks like they have been determined. It looks like we're going to see the Bludgeon Brothers be the ones to take on the Usos and try to dethrone the current SmackDown Tag Team Champions. I find it fascinating that the fans love to cheer the Bludgeon Brothers, who are supposed to be a heel tag team, destroying Breezango and everything else. And at the same time, you hear people cheering for the Usos, who are also supposed to be bad guys. And now you're going to have these two almost like crossover good guy, bad guy, heel babyface tag teams going at it for the tag team championship. But it sounds like that is the plan heading into the Fastlane pay-per-view. It'll be curious to see who comes out as the champions at the end of that show. I would not be surprised to see the Bludgeon Brothers take the belts, setting up a match in the future against the New Day, who WWE still wants to make one of the most, if not the most, dominant tag team in the history of wrestling. One of the really big news bits from this week is that there was the NXT debut of Ricochet. Ricochet signed a couple weeks ago with WWE. There was hopes for us by some people he would already have debuted on 205 Live or at the Royal Rumble. Instead, he's going to go to NXT. Triple H made it clear about a week and a half ago that all new talents have to go through NXT just to see how WWE produces television. But what I find to be amazing is they allowed Ricochet to keep the name. He's going to be billed as Ricochet. He came out, he won his match with a 620, spinning thing that he does off the top turnbuckle, and it was awesome. The fans popped huge. Triple H posted it on Twitter. It was just a cool moment for any diehard fan who's been a fan of Ricochet for a very long time. Awesome to see him in the NXT ring, and I am sure he has got an incredibly bright future ahead of him in a WWE ring, and I would not be surprised to see him on a 205 Live roster sooner than later, because now that they lost Enzo, they need somebody to be the face of that company, and if it's not him, then who? Maybe Mysterio. We'll have to see. And finally, the next feud for the Balor Club. So the Balor Club, look, I got a problem with the fact that Finn Balor puts on the match of the year with AJ Styles, and then he kind of gets relegated to being a upper-level jobber, being jobbed out to all the big talents. What was the point of the whole win over AJ Styles if you weren't going to use the guy anymore? Obviously, he's got the skill set. Give the guy something legit to do. Unfortunately, that has not been the case. He puts on this a killer match with AJ Styles at Survivor Series, and then the very next night he loses to Kane in a squash match on Raw. Then he goes into the Royal Rumble where he puts on a clinic for almost an hour, and then the next night he loses to John Cena clean. I don't understand the booking behind Finn Balor. I really don't understand it. Now, the word now is that Finn Balor and the club are going to be teaming up against Miz and the Miztourage, potentially, at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view, which will then eventually lead to Finn Balor challenging The Miz for the Intercontinental Championship at WrestleMania. Now, only last week, we talked about The Miz being challenged by Braun Strowman. Now, the concern here is that it sounds like The Rock may not be able to do WrestleMania because of insurance purposes with his current movie he's filming. That being said, somebody needs to be in the ring with Ronda Rousey to take on Triple H and Stephanie. After what happened at Survivor Series between Braun Strowman and Triple H, he would be the natural plug-in to team with Ronda Rousey to take on Triple H and Stephanie at WrestleMania. I still think that it needs to be this year that Ronda Rousey and Charlotte main event the show, but I don't see WWE doing the right thing right now by those talents. I hope they do. This is the year you can do it. I see Nate in Sellersville is popping on. He says, does that mean Bobby Lashley will need to go through NXT too? I would suspect that Bobby Lashley, being a former ECW champion in WWE, a former United States champion and everything else, I would suspect that they would count him as a veteran rather than a new signee. He's a former WWE talent who already went through their developmental system, so I would imagine that he'll go right to the main roster if he signs there, but I do believe that if he goes to WWE, the primary objective is for him to be the guy who go over Brock Lesnar as Lesnar leaves the company. I really am hoping they re-sign Lesnar. It sounds less and less likely of him going back to UFC by everything we're getting from his side of things. Then again, when you talk to Dana White, Dana White seems to be very much convinced that Brock Lesnar is not finished fighting. Now, he he has a UFC obligation. If he just returns to mixed martial arts, he still has a contract with mixed martial arts, with UFC. He does have to get back into the doping protocol so he can get cleared in time to do anything after August when WWE will let him walk. But I'm still hoping they re-sign him. Look, I know the numbers are out there. People have said he hasn't drawn the money that they expected him to draw for the amount of money they pay him. Remember, he's getting like a $5 million a year base salary without all the incentives. So it's a huge amount of money for a guy that wrestles 5-6 times a year. But his pay-per-views, they're not showing monstrous increases in viewership. However, they sell more copies in when you talk about DVD sales. They do get a small bump in the actual pay-per-view numbers. But more importantly, when you look at social media, the two names that are the most heavily searched for WWE are John Cena and Brock Lesnar. And that seems to be where a lot of WWE's focus is right now, is on social media and gaining viewership from an alternative means. And if that's the case, I could see why they're investing so much money in Brock. I just hope that Brock Lesnar starts to expand his repertoire again like he did when he was younger. Because right now, it's like every match with Brock Lesnar is the same. Come out, fist punches, some knees, you know, jackhammer, and that's it, or F5, and that's it. We need to see more. We need to see some of that classic Brock Lesnar. I would love to see him hit that shooting star press that he botched at WrestleMania. He used to do that all the time when he was in Ohio Valley Wrestling, and then he stopped when he got to the main roster. He did it that one time at WrestleMania, almost killed himself, and then he just never did it since. And it's ludicrous. It's an insane move that nobody else does. But great question from Nate in Sellersville. Thank you. I appreciate that. That's all the time we have for this episode. Check back with us next episode where we run down the latest wrestling news and rumors. Special thanks as always out to bensound.com and purpleplanet.com for producing all the music and sound effects we use to start and stop every show. Today's podcast is sponsored in part by Beazle Games. Bringing a new friend to family game night is easy with sketchy people. Showcase your artistic side in this new game from Beazle Games by going to www.frowrestling.com and clicking the icon in the middle of the screen to pick up your copy today. And to alleyrepair.com. If you need skee ball, pinball, arcade game repairs, this guy is the maximum apex repairman for that topic. Contact Alley Repair today for servicing of all your classic skee ball, pinball, and arcade game needs at alleyrepair.com. They service, they do it all. And there's nobody in the world that does what they do anymore. If you're looking for the next great career move, or you're considering a college, university life, you just need some formal training for your next career decision, go to the website www.frolifeplanning.com. for all your education needs, as Fro Life Educational Planning is for today, for tomorrow, and for life with Fro Life. I'm Fred Froelich, better known as Mr. Fro. I want to thank you so much for taking a few moments with us today. And if you're looking for more wrestling news and rumors, go to www.thesportsjunkies101.com for the latest articles on the world of pro wrestling. And make sure you check out that tournament, the greatest superstar of the Monday Night Wars. Get your votes in by Wednesday evening. Take care, everybody, and have a great night.